honest for a moment, you saw in the bulletin to be announced. Now, what were you thinking? Ah, you left it to the last moment and you couldn't get it into Amy in time. And so I told Amy, just put in to be announced and I'll think of something by Sunday. Did it cross your mind? Or were you perhaps a little bit more generous and say, he's a busy guy, he's got lots to do, and he couldn't come up with a sermon title when Chris asked him, and he said, yeah, I'll come up with something. So just put in the bulletin to be announced, and something will show up in time. Well, if you thought that, you were incorrect. Because the title of the sermon this morning is To Be Announced. It is the gospel that is to be announced. Jesus says to them, you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Go out in the strength of the Holy Spirit and announce the gospel to the ends of the earth. It is the gospel that is to be announced. It is to be announced in ever-increasing circles. It's like a pebble thrown into a pond. It begins to ripple out and ripple and go farther and farther, farther from the epicenter until it reaches the perimeter, until it reaches the shores. It is to be announced in all kinds of way, through song, through prayer, through books, through universities, through dancing, in every way we can think. And it needs to be in the hills and the valleys and on the mountaintops and ever increasing until it goes to the ends of the earth. And so this morning, I'd like to work through those verses with you in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And it's not as simple as it first seems. You shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem. When the disciples heard this, they must have flinched. No, Lord, not Jerusalem. Jerusalem was not their best moment. Jerusalem was not their success story. On the contrary, Jerusalem was the one place where they failed, and they failed miserably. Judas, after all those years of walking with Jesus, betrayed him for 30 pieces of silver, told the temple priests where to find him in their garden, and then regretted it so much that he took his own life in the valley of Kidron, hung himself. Failed hopelessly. And how about Peter? Peter, who made that great confession in Galilee, denies that he ever knew Jesus. Not only once, not twice, three times, and with an oath. I do not know this man. His accent gave him away, but he still said no. The rest of the disciples, they fled by night into the cover of darkness, not to be seen anywhere near Jesus. Jerusalem was their lowest moment. The disciples would have probably been quite happy to reverse that and say, let's go and start at the far ends of the earth and work backwards towards Jerusalem. Let's get out of here where everybody knows our failures, and start somewhere we are not known, not recognized, where we have no history of failure. But Jesus says, no. You begin in the place where it all went wrong. For if it doesn't work here, it won't work anywhere else down the line. This is a tough command for announcing the gospel. When we embrace the love of God in our hearts, when we feel ourselves forgiven, we feel salvation, we have to then witness from where we are, where we have failed. where people know our worst. They had to go back to the woman in the courtyard who said, your accent gives you away. They have to go back to the servant whose ear was cut off in the garden. They had to go back to Herod, Pilate, high priest, and say, I'm affirming Jesus Christ as the gospel, the good news. Jerusalem is the acid test for all of us, whether we believe what we say or not. For if we cannot speak in Jerusalem, we have no right to speak anywhere else. Reminds me of old Frank Sinatra, chairman of the board of Blue Eyes. Remember what he said about New York, New York, when it was New York? If I can make it here, I can make it everywhere. You shall be my witnesses first, where you have failed in Jerusalem. And then he says, you shall be my witnesses in Judea. Not Judea. Judea was not high on the disciples' list of places they wanted to go to. And as you know, there were two provinces in Israel in those days, called them kingdoms, Galilee in the north and Jerusalem in the south. And by the way, when Jesus ever taught parables about two brothers, you know, the prodigal son and the righteous brother, or the other brother who said, Lord, I'll come and help you, and didn't, and the one said, I won't, and it did. Whenever Jesus spoke a parable about two brothers, he was referring to Galilee and to Judea, two brothers that were in Israel. And everybody knew that and saw a different meaning to what Jesus was saying. But I've lived over there for almost 14 years, and I can tell you the difference between Galilee and Jerusalem. Galilee today is known as the breadbasket of Israel. It's beautiful up there. They have the Sea of Galilee, you have the River Jordan flowing through, you have Mount Hermon, which is 10,000 foot, the barrier between Syria and Lebanon and Israel. There's a ski resort up there. People ski in Israel, you might not know that, but they do. They have pomegranates, they have beautiful fish, St. Peter's fish, which is like a tilapia. They have bananas all over the place. They grow. Do you know they grow tulips up there that they send to Amsterdam every day by plane? Because the Dutch people can't make enough tulips for the market, so they grow a lot of tulips from Amsterdam in Israel. They have wonderful food, and it's just a great place. Now down Jerusalem, on the other end, there's the desert where Jesus went out for those 40 days. We have the hot winds from the Negev coming over. They have the Dead Sea, where there's nothing there. People in Jerusalem do not have the River Jordan anywhere near them. It's way down there in the valley. And this is one of the issues that comes up when Jesus has the transfiguration experience and he needs to go to Jerusalem. He'd rather stay in Galilee, where it's beautiful, where it's safe, where it's a good place to be. And Peter comes and says, well, no, Lord, we don't go to Jerusalem. We stay here. And Jesus explodes in an unusual fit of anger. It says, get behind me, Satan. Because Peter had put his hand on a very raw nerve. Jesus wanted to stay in Galilee, where he was a success, where people came to him, where he was healing, where the crowds adored him. He didn't want to go down to Jerusalem. And so, with the disciples, you know, 11 of them came from Galilee, and only one who took his own life, Judas, came from Jerusalem. And so Jesus is now saying to them, you shall be my witnesses in Judea, in the place you don't want to go to, in the place you'd rather not be. You're going to be my witnesses in Judea. If the disciples had had their own way, they would have stayed in Galilee and the gospel would not have gone any farther. And we tend to think the same. I I want to proclaim the gospel in a place where I'm happy and where it's nice and so on, and not have to go somewhere else. Pastors are like that. I don't want to ministry in the inner city. I don't want to be out in the sticks. I don't want to be, you know, here. I don't want to be there. I don't want to be in Washington and so on. I want a nice, comfortable, you know, nice homey place for my parish and my church. And Jesus says, nope. You shall be my witnesses in Judea. Just on a personal note, when I joined the ministry, I was in a place called Sea Point. Beautiful beach. We swam every morning. Even at our school, we used to go across the road and swim in the beach for our gym classes and so on. All my friends, my girlfriend, I think it was my wife. Of course it was, yeah, who else? We just had a wonderful time there. I joined the Methodist Church. My first appointment was 1,200 miles away from my favorite place. I'd leave my beach, my girlfriend, all the rest behind. Go into Natal, 1,200 miles away. There was no river, there was no beach, there were no youth clubs. And that's it. You shall be my witnesses in places you would rather not be. If I had my choice, I would have stayed in Sea Point and probably still be there. That's what Jesus says to the disciples. You're from Galilee, but you shall be my witnesses in Judea. It gets worse. You shall be my witnesses in Samaria. No, Lord. You can't be serious. I can hear them groaning already. The Jews hated the Samaritans. I mean, hated with a passion. When they came down from Galilee to Jerusalem to the feasts, they would walk out of their way in the hot sun, miles and miles and miles around the Samaritan towns, the longer way, in the heat of the day, so they didn't have to deal with the Samaritans. Samaritans didn't like them either and made life difficult for them as well. Announcing the gospel to people we don't like is a challenge. Take some doing. We'd rather avoid them. We'd rather let them stew in their own juices. Not Samaria, Lord. And yet, Jesus comes to save the very people who will put him to death. He comes to serve and to save those who are his enemies. Ought not his disciples to do the same? Here is the challenge. If you can live out the gospel before people that you just don't like and have a deep-seated prejudice against, those who are different from you in language, in culture, in thinking, in habit, sexual preference, and much, much more. You need to bring the gospel to people that you don't like. And so, the disciples must have really sweated out on that command. And then Jesus says, and you will be witnesses until the end of the earth. If you can make it in Jerusalem, if you can make it in Judea, if you can make it in Samaria, you will then be okay wherever you are. And whatever happens, you will be my witnesses to the end of the earth. May we be able to deal with that tough commission in our own lives and in our own way. Amen. I'm remembering the hymn. 4, 5, 4, open my eyes that I may see. Indeed, we'll sing all the verses of that beautiful hymn.